Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Doug Duin, and joining me today is Aubrey Zolli from the American Cancer Society and Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, and Angela Motley, a Portraits of Hope honoree. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Angela, I want to start with you because you are a breast cancer survivor, and I think what's important for a lot of people is, you know, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, is that feeling of isolation when you get that news. So I think hearing other people's stories helps remove some of that a little bit. So tell us about your diagnosis and your journey through breast cancer.
Okay. I was diagnosed the day after Labor Day in 2019. And the diagnosis was a little bit of a shock because I had had a clear mammogram in April of that year. And in July, just in a random movement, I felt my lump. Thank God for that. And I was like, that doesn't feel right. And I had an appointment in August with my doctor and for something else. And I switched it with her and said, hey, and I didn't even want to call it a lump. And I said, can you check this out? And she goes, well, didn't we just have a clear mammogram? Because that is a lump. I'm like, let's get this checked. So they got me right in, and then a needle biopsy a week later. And words I didn't read, my husband did, that they classified it in my ultrasound at a 99% malignant chance. And he had wondered why I was still like, oh, I'm good, I'm fine, because I didn't read it. And I'm actually thankful for that, because day after Labor Day, I was diagnosed, told I had it. They did genetic testing on me right away to find I carry the BRCA1 gene mutation, which that is a major part of my story later that I didn't even know to expect. And, because of the BRCA1 gene mutation, and if you're not familiar with the BRCA1 gene mutation, Angelina Jolie made this the most famous back about 15 years ago by after losing her mother and aunt to ovarian cancer, got tested and found that certain markers and different preventative measures with these genetics. And so for that stipulated that I needed to have a double mastectomy, even though my lump was literally the size of a pencil eraser. And then with that, they did a double mastectomy reconstruction in one surgery. And if I were to say one of the most brutal surgeries ever, and then I got hit with the news because it was so early and caught early and small. Then I got hit with the news a month later after they did all the pathology. You're going to need 16 chemo and 33 radiation. That was when the first tears hit. I was not prepared for that. And then if you think of the year that was in the fall of 19, what was upon us in the next 6 months, nobody was expecting in the world. COVID hit. And so then I was isolated. Anyway, I was, I thank God for my husband and my family. We have a core of friends that were there. But, I'm in sales for work, and it was a super isolating time. You know, there weren't walks happening during COVID. There were the community. I was looking for them and couldn't find them because they were shut down. I'd signed up for a walk, I think a year after when I was starting my recovery journey, and it got shut down because COVID was still there. And it has just been the most interesting journey. I believe I had 8 different surgeries to count. And, the aftermath is still there. I'm 6 years now, 6 years survivor. And, but part of my survival is the early detection and knowing and being aware. Had I waited for that April 2020 mammogram that I would have been due for, who knows if I would have even had it. So part of my mission, part of my effect, if you will, is really talking about that. Regardless of my genetics, which is a big part of my story, that early detection and being aware of and saying, hey, something's wrong, check this out, and being proactive on that, I truly believe saved my life.
Yeah, honestly, I just have to say that I think people forget to advocate for their own health. Yep. And the fact that you had literally just had a mammogram, mm-hmm. and discovered this on your own and were like, hey, I think this is something we should get checked out, is something that I think we forget a lot as a society, is advocate for your own health. Even if the doctor is telling you, I don't think we should check it, you know, you have to advocate for yourself. Yep. And so the fact that you did that and are still here, Your journey happening through COVID is actually really, really interesting to me. Because again, we talked about that isolation and that how difficult that must have been. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about once we kind of came out of COVID and you were able to get back into the community and especially working with Making Strides. What was that like when you finally got to be a part of that bigger community?
Oh, wow. That almost brings tears to my eyes thinking about it. You know how they say, you know, sometimes you don't know what you need in life until it happens to you. And I had already been, you know, I mean, I love social media. I do all the pink in October and my work. I had two different jobs through the years that supported me and did a breast cancer campaigns. But I just really didn't feel like my voice was enough. And I knew I was really wanting to do a lot more. And a really crazy chance encounter a year ago in October, I was flying home from California and a woman was on a plane and I passed her going to the bathroom and she was wearing a Boobapalooza sweatshirt. And if you didn't already know, that's one of our big Strides events that we just passed this year. And I just instinctively leaned into this woman's complete stranger and said, I love your sweatshirt. I'm a survivor. And, you know, on a plane, you know, nobody wants to talk or touch anybody. And she leaned up or looked up really quickly and she goes, me too. And we literally instinctively hugged right there in the aisle and started chatting. And I, you know, really had to go to the bathroom. So I tell her I'll be back. And I come back and she's got her card out. Turns out we were in the same kind of work industry. So we had that bond and we got off the plane. Turns out we had parked in the same lot. Like the chances of that were just, it was meant to be. I have never questioned meeting. Karen Abbey is also an honoree of our Portrait of Hope. We are together in this and I love every minute of that with her. And that was who I met on the plane that day. But it was a couple of chance encounters that got me to Strides because my next door neighbor, Cindy, works for American Cancer Society. And we had talked a couple of times of my journey and just in how the community was important to me and how I would like to get involved. But I was really looking for pink. I was really not looking for, something with just Relay for Life. I really wanted to be more pink. And I mentioned to her that I met Karen and she was like, oh, and she starts telling me about, she's involved in this group in Seattle called Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. And I was like, wait, what? So I called Karen right away and we were already friends at this point. And I said, hey, Karen, I hear you're a big deal. I hear there's more about you that, can you tell me more? And she told me all about it. And she is she fought after me. So she was still new with Strides herself, but she was like, you know, you would be just fabulous energy for this group. Let me introduce you to Aubrey. Aubrey and I scheduled a call. I believe Aubrey, you could correct this, but I believe it was a half hour call that spanned about 2 hours. We don't shut up either of us. And found out we're birthday twins at the end, which I loved that. And our energy is proof. And then she invited me in to join and be an event leadership on the event leadership team. And so I literally in January, February, inherited this amazing group of empowering women that are part of this Making Strides group, a community of sisterhood I never knew I always wanted. And it's just been, Aubrey, you summed it up best, I think, after Boobapalooza this year and my excitement there. Aubrey said it and said, I love your excitement, Angela, because you haven't even been to a walk yet. You are so excited, and this is just the beginning for you. And yeah, I literally, my face hurts after every event because I have a permagrin on my face. But it's just been because, you know, like you said, fighting in the body, fighting through COVID when it was, you know, isolation and just home and, you know, and the aftermath of the aches and the pains and the scars and the, you know, bald heads and, you know, like the different things that only us really, really understand and know how to ask and talk to each other about. I didn't realize how much I really craved that. But then the other is that it's opened me to a whole world of education and knowing more of what American Cancer Society really does for others, and the education and the research and everything. And to me, it just was such a just perfect fit, if you will, to join in with them.
Right. And honestly, I think if you thought Boobapalooza was a good time, wait until you actually do a Making Strides walk. Now, Angela, first of all, your story is incredible. How you met Karen on the plane and became involved, I think, you know, sometimes the world just works out like that, right? And, you know, what you need is just there. And if you embrace it, it's there for you, which is awesome. Now, you got the Making Strides experience kind of half, you know, after you had done most of your like recovery so you didn't actually participate in any of the programs that American Cancer and Strides has to offer. Aubrey, can you talk to me a little bit about, if somebody experiences a diagnosis, somebody listening right now has just gone through that, what is available to them in terms of this community right now?
So obviously going through cancer, and I'm someone who experienced it from the lens of a caregiver. My mom had breast cancer when I was in high school and then went through a different cancer just a couple years ago. So experienced it as a young adult, and then, you know, now as a grown adult. And we have so many different programs, not just for the patients, but also for the families and the friends. Because when you're diagnosed with cancer, it's not just the cancer patient that is affected. It's really their network and everybody that's involved, because most people haven't gone through this before. They don't know what they don't know. And so one of the biggest resources that we have available is our 800 number. So our NCIC hotline, our National Cancer Institute hotline, National Cancer Information Line, I should say. Our number is 800-227-2345. And people can call 24/7, 365. If you have a question about a diagnosis, if you have a question about insurance, which is a really popular one, we get a lot of calls about fertility. That's a big question that people have when they're going through cancer. We also have programs that allow people to get to their actual treatment. So a lot, transportation is actually the number one barrier for people when it comes to a cancer diagnosis. And so we have a program called Road to Recovery, which is 100% volunteer driven. So people will come and pick you up at your house and drive you to your appointment. They sometimes will wait for you, or other times you may have a separate driver that will come pick you up, but it is a completely free service to patients. Because when you're going through cancer, if you don't have a network of people, or if you don't have access to transportation, how are you supposed to get to your appointments? And so our Road to Recovery program is available for people. That's something we always need volunteers for. We also can assist with lodging. So if you are fortunate enough to live in the greater Seattle area, you have your pick of amazing, incredible, wonderful institutions to help you with your treatment. But if you live further away, or let's say you live over in Eastern Washington and you don't have access to care over there, you may have to travel over here. But what are you going to do? You know, those expenses add up when it comes to accommodations. So we can help with low cost or free accommodations through one of our hotel partners. In some areas in the United States, we do have Hope Lodges, which are actually American Cancer Society run facilities where people and their families can stay while they're going through treatment. We also have our Cancer Survivors Network. We have our ACS Cares app, which we just launched a couple years ago, so you can find it in your phone's app store. It'll ask you some questions about either your diagnosis or a family member's diagnosis, the information that you're most interested in learning at, and it tailors the information that it gives you based on the questions that you have. So that's a really useful resource as well. And then, of course, at the local level, we have our events. So that's a way for people to get involved in that actual community. So we have our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walks that happen in October. We also have our Relay for Life events that happen in the spring, which are for all cancers. And then we also have golf events, gala events, young professional events. So there's a way for everybody to get involved, whether that's participating in the event, having a company sponsor the event, or volunteering.
You know that you just had to mention the golf event, didn't you? A little bit of a knife in my back. I hurt my back this year. I was supposed to participate. I know. But yeah, so a massive amount of things available. And if you're listening and that seemed like a lot of information, it's cancer.org. All of that stuff is there. The easiest way, I'd say, probably to get in and get some information, especially because there's so many things available. But let's talk about that walk, because that's coming up rapidly, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The 11th at Pier 62, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Seattle is happening. Tell me about what people should expect day of. How do they participate if they're not already signed up? Can they just show up day of? Like, what can people do to participate in this unbelievable event?
Well, we're very excited this year for our event because we are at a brand new venue. We have been at Gasworks Park in Seattle for a long time, but we're excited this year to switch things up and bring it down to the beautifully new renovated waterfront at Pier 62, which is the pier right next to the Seattle Aquarium. We have a walk option for folks that's either 2.5 miles or we also have a 1 mile option this year for folks that can't do the full event. Our event is family friendly. It's dog friendly. We have a Bark for Breast Cancer doggy costume contest. So if you're bringing your dog, make sure that you dress them up. And then we also have a variety of activities and things for folks to do. We have a giant inflatable pink chair that people can take a photo in. We have information booths. Our amazing, incredible sponsors that are there have different activations. We do encourage folks to register beforehand just because it helps us with numbers. There's no registration fee to participate in the event, and you can do that on our website, but you can absolutely show up the day of. We certainly encourage fundraising. So the earlier you sign up, the more opportunity you have to fundraise. However, our websites do remain open way after the event. So they're open till the end of the year. So even if you're just signing up now or you come and sign up the day of the walk, you still will have time to fundraise. You know, we talk a lot about Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, but cancer is not a specific month. It happens year round. And so we encourage people to continue fundraising even after the event. So you don't have to be registered, but again, it does help us just kind of prepare and know how many folks are going to be there. And it is rain or shine. We're going to really cross our fingers that we get that shine. But as we always say, walking in the rain is not as hard as going through cancer. So even if we have a little bit of rain, we hope folks will still show up to support.
Well, you know, this will be my fourth year at this event, and we've been, like, even when it rained, it always parts for the walk. So I'm going to just go ahead and say, crossing my fingers, it's going to happen again. And if you want to sign up, the MN94.1 team is available. So go ahead and sign up for that one or whatever you want. But I'm just going to push for that one a little bit. So guys, honestly, thank you so much for joining me and all this great information. Angela, again, before I let you go in 50 minutes or less, because brevity is obviously a skill that we all possess. What advice would you give to somebody who is just now finding out about a cancer diagnosis? Like, you've been through it. It's a very hard thing, I'm sure, to go through. What would you say to somebody right now who's just found that out?
I will say that you know, with early diagnosis and good treatments, I found asking questions, being aware, like we said it earlier, being an advocate for yourself. But honestly, it's just one of those journeys that you just, you know, I try to be there for survivors to help them. And, you know, it's a journey that you don't know how to go through. And so, you know, with survivors or ones when they're battling, you know, the ones that are, you know, fresh losing their hair and they have the questions, they have everything. I just really encourage anyone that has freshly told me, which I just have a friend that just told me a couple of weeks ago. And I encourage and I say, you know, that there's so much great treatment out there. Breast cancer is one of the most beautiful in cancers with early detection and the research. And I just really encourage that the more you know, the better you get out there. And honestly, you know, like we talked about, like the fact that I even checked myself early. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go get checked. If you feel something, say something, you know. And I found that the survivors' voices for me were the loudest. They were the most impactful. When I was fighting, you know, I had a rah-rah cheerleading squad around me. Don't get me wrong. My family and friends rock. But those few survivors, and they know who they are, their voices, when they would text me in the middle of the night, how are you really doing? Those voices were the strongest. Hearing somebody tell me that they were 10, 15, 20 years out, what did you do to get there? How did you get to that other side? And so I promised myself when I got to the other side that I will continually do that the rest of my life for those others to get them through. So yeah, be strong. Don't be afraid. There is a community here, and we're all in this together. It's a movement together.
We're all in this together is exactly right. And I think, you know, sometimes we forget that.
Yeah.
We forget that there's others there for us. And so I think just hearing that is a great message to kind of like send people on their way with. We're all in this together. So Aubrey, Angela, thank you so much for your time today. The website is cancer.org. And Aubrey, where should people go to sign up for the Making Strides Walk? What's the website?
You can head over to makingstrideswalk.org and you can search for your local event. We have two events here in the Washington area. We do have our Seattle one coming up on October 11th. And then if that one doesn't work for you or you're in Snohomish County, we've got our Snohomish County event up in Everett on October 25th. So go to makingstrideswalk.org.
And of course, you're allowed to do both if you want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you for listening. Conversations is a public affairs program of this station.
Stuff for Seattle. Here we go. It's a commercial-free Friday. The Mariners start the playoffs tomorrow, so we're going commercial-free all day on Hot 103.7. Go, M's! It's commercial-free Friday, 100% all day on Hot 103.7. You know we repping the Mariners, so we going commercial free all day right here on Hot 103.7. The Mariners take on the Guardians tomorrow at T-Mobile Park, and we're going commercial free all day right here on Hot 103.7. The Mariners take on the Tigers tomorrow at T-Mobile Park, and we're going commercial free all day right here on Hot 103.7. Cardi B is coming to Seattle in February, and Hot has your chance to win tickets coming up next. Cardi B is coming to Seattle in February, and Hot has your tickets to win. Cardi B is coming to Seattle in February, and Hot has your tickets. Cardi B is coming to Seattle in February, and Hot has your chance to win tickets next. All day on the 10s, Hot has your chance to win tickets to see Cardi B. All day on the 10s, Hot has your chance to win tickets to see Cardi B. Do you want to see Cardi B? Well, Hot has your way to win. All day on your 10s, Hot 103.7. Downtown is going to be nuts Sunday with the... Downtown is going to be nuts on Sunday with the Seahawks and the Mariners, both with home games. So if you're going, get down there early. And keep it locked on Hot for all the tailgating. Hot has your chance to win tickets to the scariest Halloween attraction in Seattle, the Georgetown Morgue Haunted House. Listen all weekend for your chance to win your way in.